now approaching. Junction at platform. Passengers, airport, please stay on board. Next stop, road station.
iOS helps you control which apps you share your exact location with. There's more to iPhone.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to The Times. To find out more, head to thetimes.co.uk.
Every goal, every game, everywhere. The Times and the Sunday Times, now with goals.
Hello and welcome to The Game, the one and only football podcast from The Times. I'm Gabriel Marcotti, and I'm especially excited this week because I'm going on holiday next week. No, not just that. Because I am joined by Alison Rudd, Rory K. Smith. You can think of them as sort of like the A-team. And Julian Lawrence. Isn't it much nicer having Julian here than Clive? Rory?
They both have their merits.
There you go. Very diplomatic.
Ricochets back out for Juan Mata. Now Di Maria. Mata's continued his run. What a finish that is! A quite stunning goal from Juan Mata. Manchester United 2 up at Anfield against the 10 men of Liverpool with a goal of breathtaking quality.
We'll get to whether this is was the decider for the fourth place, but I was struck by something. Anybody here expect Louis van Gaal to play the exact same lineup as the week before and the same formation?
I think you had to, after the way they played against Spurs, you had to wonder whether he might, yeah. Then it was a shock.
Well, but it's not like it's the first time they played well this season against Spurs, was it?
It's the first time they've played.
That's all down as fact.
It's the first time they've played well
against a decent team. And it was a formation as well that was suited to play against Liverpool formation.
Aha. Because I find that interesting. So it obviously was because it worked. I thought in that first half they tore Liverpool to shreds tactically. But then I look at it and I'm thinking, we talked about this last week, it's kind of like their slow footballing formation, right?
Yeah.
So if I have Raheem Sterling and he's up against Daley Blint, and shouldn't that be an advantage for Liverpool? Can they not? And in the same way that you could argue Townsend against Blint should have been last week too, but it wasn't. Well, how is that possible?
Yeah, I think Raheem Sterling playing wing back in that 3-5-2 is a waste of time. Is a waste of
3-4-3.
Yeah, is a waste in that 3-4-3. Sorry, is a waste for me. And I don't know. I just think that in midfield, especially the way Fellaini, Carrick, and Herrera set up against Henderson and Allen was just perfect. And every time they had plenty of time of the ball, and every time Henderson and Allen were either too far or not, you know, pressuring them high enough, there was not enough intensity in that Liverpool midfield in that first half either. And I just thought that Van Gaal got it spot on.
Do you still think Van Gaal is a fraud?
I still think Van Gaal is a fraud. But the one thing is, Louis Van Gaal is listening to this podcast, and credit to him for listening to the Times podcast, because we told him before, not only that he was a fraud, but also that why are you not playing Mata? He plays Mata and suddenly things are much better. We told him, please play your players in their position, which he does now. Fellaini plays in his right position. Rooney plays in his right position. Mata, maybe not the right position, but at least Daley Blind plays in his right position, and I think it's much better when you play.
Really? You think, yeah, Daley Blind's a viable left back in the Premier League?
I think he's a better left back than a holding midfielder, for sure.
So I think Julian makes an interesting point, and that's what's really interesting to me about United's kind of revival. And I was a bit skeptical last week because they beat Spurs, and Spurs were really bad. And I think it's always, Alison said it was a party political broadcast on behalf of the False Dawn Party. And I am now prepared to revise that opinion and say that it does look like they've hit upon something, and that's great. And United looked strong, and they played first half particularly, they played really, really well at Anfield, and tactically, yeah, totally nailed it. I'm baffled as to why it's taken him 9 months. Because that 4-3-3, you mentioned that Spurs wasn't the first time they've played well. Whenever they have played well this season, they've been playing 4-3-3. And yet he's continually gone back to 3-4-2-1 or whatever it was, or 3-5-2. And he's made a succession of decisions that, looking at it, kind of don't make sense. And he gave an interview to the Telegraph last week, a really long interview to the Telegraph last week, talking about kind of how he'd... You know, how his players have to get used to the workload that he demands of them, and how he wants players who can play in different positions and do different things, and it takes time. It shouldn't take 9 months.
I think it's more that he overthought it because he had horrendous injury problems and he had a lot of inexperienced defenders. And I think I just think he was worried that he felt he had to devise a clever system to slot in a complete myriad of highly paid, expensive stars and players no one had ever heard of coming through the youth ranks. And I think he got sort of slightly all-powerful in his view of it. I think he felt, this is a club in trouble. I've arrived and things are not going my way. I have to be very cautious here and very clever about how I set the team up. And because they rarely played terribly well, it just smacked of overthinking, and the players, most of them, didn't look very comfortable. It was football by numbers. It smacked of staring at spreadsheets for too long and trying to calculate a way of coping with all the factors that went in. I mean, it was a club in disarray when he arrived. You know, the David Moyes experiment had gone wrong. Morale was low, and Old Trafford doesn't know how to cope with low morale, and he was trying to be all things to all men and all people. So I think now he's simplified it, he's pared it down. He's able to step back, and like you say, Gabs, he's playing better. He's, you know, I'll just play him because he's playing better. Which ultimately is what you do in football, isn't it?
I think there's some other factors that come into play. I mean, one, and I hate to pick on Ed Woodward because I feel like I do it every show, but he was obviously not helped by the fact that the club goes and signs all these top players at the end of the transfer window once the Premier League has already started. I mean, that's just stupid. And if I were Joel or Avram or one of the Glazer gang, I would take this under advisement when I do Mr. Woodward's performance review at the end of the summer or at the end of the year, because it's just completely idiotic. You left points on the table at the start of the season. You brought in superstars for absurd amounts of money without giving your manager time to work with them and to prepare. Let's celebrate Juan Mata.
Yes.
Everybody loves Juan Mata.
Everyone loves Juan Mata.
I obviously people love the second goal, reminiscent of Mark Hughes and whatnot. A tremendous technical feat. But I imagine, you know, if Juan Mata's wide open and the ball comes there and you're Juan Mata, you can probably nail that every so often. What I loved is how he completely lost his marker on the first goal. He's up against Moreno, who I'm assuming would lap Mata 20 times running around the pitch. And he just kind of like makes himself visible, disappears from him. And he sort of runs with his little legs and he latches onto a tremendous pass from Ander Herrera. I mean, that's brains.
It's a brilliant finish as well.
And a tremendous finish.
Right foot as well.
Yeah.
Right
and foot with finish. His weaker foot.
Mata's a great player, but I think the thing with Mata is that you have to accept that, and I love Juan Mata as a man more than as a player. I love him as a man. He's the sort of footballer you really want to be friends with. But does he be a good friend? He wouldn't.
I think he'd be a good friend.
You know,
yeah.
He'd call you when you were down.
Yeah.
You know,
he'd be a good friend. You know, never forget your birthday.
No,
stuff
exactly.
Like that. Yeah.
He'd invite you out if he was going out and he knew you're having a tough time. He'd like invite you out, even though you didn't know people. Then he'd do all the introductions. He'd just be a great friend.
His dad, who's also Juan Mata, who's lovely as well, would invite you. You know, for Sunday roast and things like that. I think a lovely family.
And yet, isn't it bizarre, Alison, that you wouldn't think so, because of course his name in Spanish means
Johnny Kills.
Johnny Kills. So I wonder if there's a dark side.
Nice response to that.
Well, if you believe in nomenclature determinism, then it is deeply surprising that he's such a pleasant chap, because people tend to gravitate to what their names mean.
Yes.
So because of the cabal of Liverpool fans who inhabit the Times,
infest
the Times, we don't need to talk about this game any further or any other incidents. Oh no, except for the Phil Jones incident. Should Phil Jones? Just kidding. No. All right. 30 seconds into the second half. Steven Gerrard comes on, Ander Herrera tackles him, or he tackles Ander Herrera, then Herrera goes back, gets him, I don't know to what degree there was contact, but it's obviously it made Gerrard uncomfortable.
Very slight.
And Gerrard stomps down on him and gets sent off. To what degree do we give Gerrard a pass for this? Because if you want to be really unkind, you could argue that, you know, he had the slip last year and now this, which could cost Liverpool a place in the Champions League. If you go and you view it in that way.
I don't think he gets a pass at all. I think it was totally and utterly brainless. I think if he's a 34-year-old man who's been a professional footballer for 17 years, and, you know, Rodgers sort of said, oh, you know, he's frustrated with us for not making a tackle in the first half. There was Carragher, I think, said that, oh, he's upset at being left out against Swansea. Jesus Christ, grow up. Do you know what I mean? Right. That is appalling.
Can I offer a different suggestion? And Alison, maybe you can back me on this. I think he went in and he said, all right, nobody's going to have the cojones to send me off 30 seconds after I come on. You generally get one free hit
that's true.
In the Premier League or in most football games.
Not when you walk on someone.
Well, I mean, Diego Costa, anybody? No, but if generally when it's so early in the game, you're kind of daring the referee to do something about it. Maybe I can get a lick in on this guy and then he'll be a little bit less aggressive next time and I can sort of influence the game. And maybe, is there any possibility? I mean, he wasn't trying to hurt him, but he was trying to send a message, yeah?
I'd find it really, I can't compute to that, that the idea that he thought, actually thought about it, that he made a decision to be that violent. I don't think he knew what he was doing. He was out of control.
Do you think it was some sort of like momentary lapse of reason?
No, I think he'd sat there in the first half, absolutely bubbling away with all sorts of thoughts. How am I not starting in the most important fixture at Anfield every season? Why am I not starting? I'm fully fit now. I'm raring to go. I have a track record of doing important things in big games.
Really? He scored some important goals once or twice?
He sat there thinking this. He sat there thinking, what is going on? And then while he sat there, the decision not to play him is backfiring. There's no midfield present at all for Liverpool. They look like a collection of below average height, slightly weak-willed, small players. They look effete. They're not getting hold of the game at all. They're at Anfield and yet they're acting as though they're Old Trafford. It's not working the way it's supposed to work. And he sat there thinking, this is backfiring, I should be on the pitch. And I think he gets on the pitch and he
loses
this
his
is
life.
Something he's done before and it sometimes has worked. And when he was younger and fitter and quicker and sharper, it would work. And he wants to be everything. He wants to make the 50-yard pass and he does that. That's the first thing he does. He wants to impose himself in midfield. He wants to show that I know what's going on. I'm the main man here and this is my manner and I'm going to dictate how this game turns out. And it's just a rush of blood. He doesn't decide he's going to get away with something because it's only 30 seconds into the game. He just has too much going on in his blood, in his head.
Julian, so you get the final verdict on this because, A, do you think it was rush of blood or do you think it was maybe a little bit of calculation? And B, what do you think makes him look better? Rush of blood or calculation?
I think he's going through a horrible season. It's probably everything's happening this season that he didn't want to happen. You know, the way the whole contract issue with Liverpool, not being offered anything, having to leave the country and go to America, not being picked anymore, even for the biggest game of the season, you know, for a Liverpool player, for a Liverpool fan, for the club and everything. I think everything is going wrong. Everything is going on for the injury on top of everything. And I think he's a very unhappy man. And I think for me, the stamp yesterday was the sign of someone who is really unhappy in his own skin. And maybe he had rush of blood before. Maybe he had. It's more than rush of blood. It's someone deeply unhappy with himself. You know, with the the scene around him, with the people he worked with. I'm sorry, but I would love to know the relationship or how he feels about Brendan Rodgers, you know, because through the whole season, I'm not sure how fair Rodgers has been to him, you know, between the contract, between dropping him, you know, like not being used probably as much as he would like. And I think he's just perfect example of him being very unhappy in his own skin.
Chelsea not really creating too many chances for all the possession they're having. Fabregas, Willian might be able to change it. Remy! Oh, Alan McGregor couldn't stop it. And Chelsea are back ahead. Loic Remy, barely 90 seconds after coming onto the pitch.
I think if you look at a player like Ivanovic, for example, who were all over the place from start to finish in that game, you know, especially defensively, you do think maybe the guy needs a rest, you know, finally needs a rest, because he's probably not a very amazing right back. He's probably a better centre-half, but using him at right back, it's unusual for him to make mistakes like he made on Sunday, and you wonder, maybe the guy needs a rest, and there's
Why
a few players...
Why does he need a rest? I mean, he's not...
Because he's probably...
He has to play every game.
Yeah, from the start of the season. You know,
he's made of metal and gears. Yeah, and,
true, he's RoboCop's brother. Like, he's RoboCop's family,
maybe,
but still...
Maybe he needs a service.
A bit of oil. And yeah, I do think that tiredness is playing a part in those games where they, you know, they keep having those leads and other teams...
The train is now approaching Junction at platform...
iOS helps you control which apps you share your exact location with. There's more to iPhone.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Rising sea levels, extreme weather patterns, extinctions of species. Our planet needs protecting. I'm Adam Vaughan, the environment editor for The Times, and this is Planet Hope from The Times, in partnership with Rolex and its Perpetual Planet Initiative. In this podcast, we hear from leading experts from around the world who are committed to finding solutions. These explorers, scientists, entrepreneurs, and citizens are committed to a common goal: to protect our home, Earth. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Magnus hasn't quite been himself either as well.
Yeah, exactly. Fabregas neither.
But the one guy, though, who doesn't seem tired at all and who really impressed me again was Eden Hazard. What's up with this guy? We sort of overlook him. Do we Hazard a bit of a disservice here?
What I thought was interesting about his goal was that the sort of criticism Hazard does tend to get is that, oh, you know, you can't even put him anywhere near the same bracket as someone like Messi because he doesn't know how to score from outside the box. He's doesn't even try too often enough. He can't, you know, and he had that was a glimmer of proper world class finishing.
And I thought his defensive work as well was tremendous. Diego Costa came off, looked like he wasn't doing great. Did we see this incident he had with McGregor as well, with the goalkeeper?
Where he tapped his tummy. That one.
No, before that, looked to me like he kind of maybe kicked out a little.
Yeah, tapped his tummy. It was a tap.
It was a tap.
Stupid thing to do, because that's the sort of thing that can get you sent off. But it was so... mild-mannered.
All right, it's like Steve Bruce, because I know for a fact in January they're terrified by the Premier League's financial fair play. They couldn't spend any money. They were just getting freebies in. And it looked to me like the ship was sinking. And when I saw them line up with Alex Bruce, who, funny enough, he doesn't have a new contract. He's a free agent in the summer.
Getting released by your dad. That is brutal.
I see Alex Bruce and McShane, but they're still there, and Steve Bruce is very optimistic that they're going to stay up.
Yeah, but their running is horrible. Their running is absolutely appalling.
You said last week they're going down.
I think they'll get relegated.
You still think they're going down, even though they looked really good.
I don't think it matters. I think that their running is really, really bad. I think QPR will go down. I think Leicester will go down. I've got a feeling Hull will be the third.
QPR, Leicester and Hull.
Yeah.
So the gravel-voiced one stays up.
I'd like to think so.
to Bruce for changing the formation, because it was a no-brainer. It was clearly not working, and you know, but still, you know, fair enough to him. And one thing though, he has to change those blue trainers. That was horrendous. That was a low for me, big time. Those blue Umbro trainers have to go.
Nene, the substitute, is Noble. Oh, it breaks to Seco. And he's probably won the game for West Ham. As Sunderland hover above the relegation zone. And Dick Advocaat starts his career with defeat.
So Gus Poyet is no longer the Sunderland manager. Dick Advocaat has taken over for him. He does have experience in the United Kingdom, albeit north of the border, where he was successful at Rangers. This smacks to me as kind of a old head, jolt to the system, players manager type of guy. Very smart tactically, I actually think Advocaat is, but he's not really going to have time to go and do anything too sophisticated there. Is that all it is?
Well, it baffles me completely, this one.
Because you like Gus, don't you?
Well, I do like Gus. But did you read Gus's statement that he put out?
Which one?
The official statement he put out saying that was all managers do this now, don't they? When they're fired, they put out a statement. I think it's legal, just in case you have a case you want to bring. But he said, you know, I'd like to say I thoroughly enjoyed my time and I enjoyed taking Sunderland to Wembley. I enjoyed performing the miracle. I mean, his record at Sunderland isn't bad at all. This is purely a case of the club's management board members falling out with him. It's a political decision. You do not at this stage of the season think you are better off getting rid of a man who's already performed the miracle. And he was in a far worse state this time last year than he was at the point he was sacked. Why assume it's going to get so bad that all miracles are impossible? And bring in somebody, you say he's got experience, Advocaat, British football, but spending a lot of money at Rangers has absolutely zero to do.
Also, it was like a decade ago as well.
Sunderland could have stayed up with Poyet, but it wouldn't have been because of Poyet. They'd have just stayed up.
So they stayed up last season, why? Nothing to do with him
either. No, that was something to do with him, but it wasn't working this season. The players weren't playing for him. They're incredibly... I mean, the Advocaat will struggle unless he can make them quicker. That's the big thing with Sunderland. They're so slow.
Sometimes this kind of late-season jolt works, but do we have evidence that the players didn't like Gus? Or is it just Lee?
The performances.
No, apart from the performances, but you don't get... I mean, you know, like, when Gus replaced the previous manager... Mm-hmm. It was obvious that certain players didn't like him. Other players did, but they made for less of a story. But do we have any evidence that anybody's like happy that he's gone?
I don't know. But Rory maybe is right. There was clearly the message was not going through to the dressing room anymore. There was a few issues there. I don't think they played to get him sacked. But a few of his last game were so dreadful that you do wonder, like, you know, if the players really...
Well, because they're dying to play in the championship next year? I would assume a lot of these guys have relegation clauses, don't they?
Yeah, I think they do.
Yeah, probably, yeah. I don't think Jermaine Defoe wants to play in the championship next season, but he can work. I'm not sure Advocaat, again, is the right man for, like, an emergency, you know, situation miracle.
On Defoe... When he signed, it was all like, oh, Jermaine Defoe guarantees goals.
He gets you goals.
No, yep. He doesn't.
He doesn't. Yeah. He's been partying with Drake. We've said that. He partied the whole of last year with Drake in Toronto. He's not... He was always going to be struggling. It's normal.
I just think of partying in Toronto.
With Drake?
With like the nine-month winter.
I know. He was never going to be ready for, you know, for six very intensive months in the Premier League.
I'm not knocking the Canadians at all.
Or Drake, yeah. What? Be careful.
Yeah,
Drake.
Drake listens to this.
And Drake is also friends with Mario Balotelli. So again, you can see his evil hand behind everything, including Sunderland's problems.
Yeah.
Right, time now for some quick hits. Spurs huff and puff and eventually beat Leicester 4-3. Harry Kane bags a hat-trick. And Matthew Syed in the paper compares him to Gerd Muller. But Rory, it's boring to talk about him. Let's talk about Leicester instead. It wasn't a bad performance, was it? Is there hope for Pearson?
It's never a bad performance from Leicester. They've not actually played... They've not been heavily and well beaten many times this season. But there comes a point where that's not really relevant anymore. They don't have enough points. They're a decent team. They lack goals. Bit baffled to see. I don't know where Kramaric has gone. Ujo has not been starting. That's a lot of money they've spent on players that were meant to supply goals but now aren't playing. They're going to get relegated, and it's a bit sad because my dad's a Leicester fan.
Manchester City bounced back from the European woes with a 3-0 win over West Brom. Julien, does this cement your belief that they'll finish as runners-up?
It doesn't cement anything at all. That game doesn't count. It counts for the 3 points, but apart from that, they played at 11 against 10 for like 88 minutes, so it doesn't count about anything.
Well, they still scored three goals. They're still...
Nah, no, it doesn't count. Show me more. Show me better.
All right. Speaking of West Brom, City's job was made easier by the fact that their opponents went down to 10 men early on. As we just heard, Neil Swarbrick has apologised for thinking Gareth McAuley and Craig Dawson are the same person, which is an easy mistake to make, given that at least they have the same complexion. Unlike some of the other cases of mistaken identity we've seen in the Premier League this season. But what I don't understand, Alison, is it's not like Swarbrick was the only official out there. If he was unsighted, if he was confused, if he was daydreaming, fine. Aren't there three other dudes out there? What, the fourth official, the other assistant referees? Are they not watching the game?
Yeah, no, it's utterly bizarre that... because, you know, sometimes it's about angles and obscured view. This was purely about mixing up two players and just getting it wrong. But... I agree with you completely. One of the other officials should have said, reading between the lines, and I don't know if this is true, but this is what I can gather from all the different statements made and conversations I've heard about it. Swarbrick just went into complete, I know what I'm doing. Don't speak to me about this.
So it's possible the fourth official told him.
I think it might be possible. And he just wanted to say, stop. I've got the players... in my ear, just stop. I know what's going on. Just let me do what I'm doing. And then he had that awful realization later that he had got it horribly wrong.
But the fact that they're number 23 and 25, do you think that could have caused the whole problem? Is that he got confused with the two numbers, they're so similar.
In a way, that should stop Swarbrick from being so
arrogant
about it, because all he has to do is look at the numbers and see, oh, actually, it is quite possible I misread that number. I will listen to my assistant on this.
Surely if the players are saying, this is the same thing with the Gibbs one and the Sunderland one, if the players are saying to you, it's not me, it was him.
But players cheat and deceive all the time, especially Gareth McAuley.
He's
the wrong guy. He is.
Yeah. Certainly, in the other two cases, they were saying it wasn't him; it was this one. They're not. Surely the referee has to think at that point. All right, well, we're going to have to sort this out.
But in the Huddersfield Fulham game,
yeah,
he rescinded it, changed his mind after the player, the players,
and
case. And they said, okay, fair enough, I got it wrong, and he changed the red card.
I think the cheaper solution to video technology is making all 22 players wear different coloured hats.
That would definitely do the trick.
Red hats sent up.
The guy in the red hat.
Was it the red or the blue?
Guess what? It's International Week. That means England have games coming up. Rory, what excites you about this? Okay. I think that was pretty eloquent.
There's a media game. The England media team are playing the Lithuanian media team, but the England media team is rubbish, so we're getting Julian to play for us.
Yes.
But you guys have a whole history of doing this, right? Kevin Peterson, Zola Budd,
absolutely.
Normally it's South Africans, but
Julian's wife is Welsh, so he qualifies through that. Julian is the most talented...
His wife is Welsh, he qualifies for England.
Julian is the most talented footballer I have ever played with, and I have played with former Manchester United and Bradford winner Lee Sharp.
Wow, that's high praise.
He's also very handsome.
Can you not get Thierry Henry? Isn't this game on Sky? Can you get Thierry Henry?
No, but so when we played a game against the
why don't I have two friends? In fact, why don't you just get like seven? Why don't you get Thierry Henry?
This is what I'm going to say.
Yeah, just get a bunch of French guys.
Hang on. The first time I ever played football with Julien was in a game in which Robert Pires was also involved against the Parliamentary 11. Julien is better than Robert Pires now.
Well, you're younger than Robert Pires, right?
Yeah, he's 41. I'm 34.
There you go. You got 7 years on exactly. him. I bet 34-year-old Robert Pires would have been better.
I'm 32 and I'm not better than Robert Pires.
Arsenal win in Newcastle to keep the heat on Manchester City, and Olivier Giroud scores too. Julien, he's French like you, so I'm assuming you have some special insight. Why does he divide opinion? Because I think he really does. When I suggested he was one of the top five centre forwards in the Premier League, people were like, ha, 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 ha. Like, well, why do some people think that he's rubbish? Is it just jealousy because he's handsome and
because he's French?
He took a selfie with Celia Kay, Ollie's cousin.
It's jealousy because he's French, because he's good looking, and because he's good at what he does. I think he's improved a lot. He's definitely in the top five strikers in the Premier League. And if he was English, people would be raving about him.
Those are all reasons that Julian has also faced jealousy.
Southampton bag another big win, 2-0 against Burnley. Alison, you were there. Thoughts?
Yeah, lucky me. My thoughts are that Burnley might just be too good to go down.
Because they have a super talented, highly priced squad, right?
Well, no, they don't have a... They have a talented squad and it's not super priced, and they are, on the whole, well-organised, and Dyche just squeezed the best out of them. Of all the ones in trouble, I think they're the team most likely to just about escape it. And they, you know, they're enjoyable to watch. And Southampton, they have a reasonable run in. They, as I wrote in my match report, there was a touch of arrogance about them in the second half, and you don't often see that with Southampton. So I wonder if they think, "Ooh, look at our run in. If we just keep it going, someone might slip up." So, as I've said before, I think it would be the story of all stories if they finished in the top four, and they haven't swayed me from that. If it's down to them, they'll do it, but it's not down to them.
Gab, apparently there was a game in Spain last night. What was it like? What happened?
What happened was Barcelona beat Real Madrid 2-1, extending their lead in La Liga to 4 points. I thought it was actually a really, really enjoyable game. It had everything. Had hugs and kisses in the tunnel beforehand, a bit of nasty on the pitch. An absurd goal from Luis Suarez, which to me gets better every time you see it. Ultimately, that was the difference between the two teams. I thought Real Madrid played much better for about 50-55 minutes, and then after that they went flat, and Barcelona could have scored more, but people are saying that Barcelona have the title wrapped up. I'm not so convinced. Right, that's all we've got time for this week. If you haven't subscribed on iTunes and Player FM for Android, please do so. If you have one of those fancy Apple Watches, then you're pretty cool. Anyway, many, many thanks to my guests today, Alison Rudd, Julian Lawrence, and of course, Rory K. Smith, who is up for an award at the SJA Awards. Those are the Sports Journalists Association.
Yes, by the awards. Time you're listening to this, I will have not won an award.
Or you might have won.
I won't have won.
Check out thetimes.co.uk on your digital device. Members get exclusive football, rugby, and cricket highlights free as part of your subscription. If you're not a member yet, you can take our £1 digital trial today. Just search Times Sport online. I'm not going to be here next week. You guys are lucky. You'll get Max Rushton or somebody far more talented than I am. But hopefully I'll see you in a few. Bye-bye.
Your subscription to The Times and The Sunday Times now comes with access to every Barclays Premier League goal. Refresh your app, choose your team, accept notification, and you're away.
The train is now approaching. Junction at platform. Passengers, by board, please stay on board. Next stop, Road Station.
iOS helps you control which apps you share your exact location with. There's more to iPhone.
I'm Manveen Rana from The Story, a daily news podcast from The Times. Join me and my co-host, Luke Jones, for a deep dive into the big stories and investigations. Plus, each month, William Hague hosts an agenda-setting interview with a key newsmaker or big thinker. That's The Story, The Times' daily podcast that brings you one remarkable story told in depth. Listen every weekday on the Times Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.